Cerruto, try it again. Fans on the feet, 6,000 in attendance. The payoff is flied into right field, going back at the warning track, at the wall. It's gone! Go ahead, three-run home run for the senior! Peter Cerruto has given the Indiana Hoosiers the lead!
Hello and welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this on Thursday, April 4th, 2024. I am Carl James, joined by Chris Feeney, Cassidy Palmer, and IUBase.com reporter Zach Horwitz. Zach, welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Yeah, Zach's been doing some fantastic work on the site for us, so go to IUBase.com. He's written quite a few recaps, and of course he's been his whatever you call them, posts, tweets, ex-posts, whatever, on X have been fantastic. So he's been doing a great job there at the BART. The Indiana University baseball team had a 3-2 week this past week, including splitting a 4-game series with Butler and flipping the script on Indiana State in a big comeback midweek win on Tuesday. So since this is Zach's first time on Talking Hoosier Baseball, we're going to go right to him. A series split with Butler was disappointing to say the least, but a winning week overall is at least a little promising. What have you seen from this team so far, and what do you think they still need to do?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely disappointing to take 2-4 from an in-state team like Butler, but I think the team really learned a lot this week. It was pretty inconsistent series on all fronts. Going back to Thursday's game in Indianapolis, the bats were quiet. The 1-4 hitters combined for 2-13 at the plate. The team struck out looking 5 times. That's just a recipe for a loss. They lost that one 6-2. You move on to Friday, and Indiana found themselves another starter. Ty Bothwell, 8 innings and no walks. 4 hitters in that game had multi-hit outings, and the team finished with 12 hits overall. We won. Indiana won that ball game 11-2. So the series was now split, and a doubleheader was coming on Saturday. Connor Foley on the bump, and Butler really used the bottom half of their bullpen, almost surrendering the game to the opposition of Foley there. Indiana went for 22 runs in that one, 14 in the first 3 innings. The run support was really in effect for Foley. And the late game Saturday is really the one that stands out the most. As crazy as it sounds, Indiana was on the brink of winning their first ball game in which they scored under 6 runs. Julian Tonghini started that game. He threw 3 innings, but Butler put up 2 runs in the 7th to tie the game up at 5, and then a 3-run homer put the game on ice in the 9th. But you can really take away a couple things once they now experience a tough loss. Tuesday, they bounced back against Indiana State. It was the flip of the script. Indiana trailed 6-0, fought all the way back. And it was the opposite in Terre Haute about 2 weeks ago, where Indiana led 6-0 and then eventually got blown out. But in this one, Tyler Cerny's grand slam really energized the dugout. The Hoosiers took home a 16-7 victory. But from my perspective, Indiana really learned a lot about themselves this past week. They experienced a close ball game late, and they added a starter to the weekend rotation. They solidified some of the lineup with the so-called The Bit Crew, which is the freshmen of Jason Oliver, Andrew Wiggins, and Joey Brunchesky. Oliver actually extended his hit streak up to 12 games now as well. But what still needs to be done, Indiana needs to find a midweek starter. Tyra Barczyk should move to the Sunday role as Indiana hopes to win the Big Ten. They need someone to step up and really take that spot. And on the offensive end, they need to lengthen the lineup and get quality at-bats all the way through. It's been an issue in games that they've lost, and they only have a few guys attacking the pitcher, and sometimes the others are more conservative. But now we'll go over to Cass. What are the stats telling us now?
Yeah, thanks, Zach. I didn't have a ton of time to look at in-depth stats this week, but so I kind of stuck with big picture a bit. And we've heard all season the pitching has to keep it to 7 runs. Pitching has to keep it to 7 runs. Well, what does that actually look like? So in losses, this actually only flips three. Keep it. If you changed all of them to 7 runs, where they had more than 7 runs, that only actually nets 2 additional wins on the season, and one that would have had to go to extra innings in the Indiana State game, because that would have been 7-7 tie can't really make a call one way or the other there, except we know the momentum was all Indiana State the way it actually played out. But looking even closer, that got me thinking, like, okay, well, what are the runs looking like that IU scores in some of these situations? And so I looked at, in games where the pitching allowed over 7 runs, the offense is only averaging 5 runs a game. So even if in those games where the pitching gets blown up a bit, it seems to not really matter because we only score 5 runs anyway. Whereas when the pitching keeps it to 7 runs or fewer, the offense averages 10 runs a game. Some of that's got to be psychological of if you're down 12-1, it's real hard to work your way back from that on the offensive side. But it's really interesting to see that, like, as much as the pitching staff has gotten blown up at times, for whatever reason, the offense is on when the pitching is on. When the pitching is off, stows the offense. And so that just kind of caught my attention. And while really 2 additional wins, the 1 tie, doesn't seem like a lot, that does actually net us a series win against Troy, which is decent. And it would have been a series win to open Big Ten play against Illinois. And that's the one that hurts, in all honesty. So it'll be interesting to see how these trends continue over the remainder of the season. I'm hoping in general we can get some more offense going to kind of boost up that pitching staff a bit. But with those numbers, Chris, you've got some hardware to hand out now.
Yeah, Cass, and you're talking about the numbers to hand out an offensive award. I mean, I know what Zach was saying. It wasn't consistent. Now, it was not consistent, right? There was lulls in the first game. There was lulls in the fourth game. But you take those other 3, and you know, we scored 56 runs in for the week. We had Andrew Wiggins with a 4-hit game, right? Getting on base 5 times, add that walk. You had Nick Mitchell with a 6 RBI game, and these guys didn't win belts, right? So it mattered, right? It mattered when they did it, and sure, we should hope for some more clutch hits, and absolutely, at Butler, the bats were really quiet. But to have to come up with a winner, one really shined out, you know, obviously Wiggins and Mitchell's special days for Saturday, but Tyler Cerny's going to win the offensive red belt, the Alex Dickerson Award. I mean, every other game, it's double home run, 3 RBI, double home run, 3 RBI, 3 RBI, home run. And then, of course, the huge grand slam, you know, the momentum changer. I wasn't at the game. I couldn't make it. But just, you know, listening and following along, and that was the moment. I know Pines gave us the lead, but you hit a granny like that, and the streak that Tyler's been on, you know, he leads the team in total bases. And I always like looking at total bases because however you're going to get them, if you're up there in total bases, it's a huge deal. And Tyler does lead the team. So he's going to get the offensive red belt for the week. Ty Bothwell, to me, is an easy pick. He's got a bunch of these this year for the Joey Donato Award. Does he have 3?
Yep.
Cash just put up the 3 for me. I saw it. Okay. So he had the 8 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, no walks, which is really impressive. 8 strikeouts, 97 pitches, which with getting that win, you know, puts him to 3-1, 3-1 on the season. I was not happy he didn't come out for the 9th, but man, listen, they're gonna do what they want to do. I thought they should have gave the kid a shot. How often does a college kid get to throw a complete game? You know what I mean? I know the score was lopsided, that's why it happened, but it does give Ty 182 strikeouts for the season. For his career. And not too many IU pitchers have thrown 200 strikeouts for their career. So I'm going to watch that. What is that, 18? I would think Ty would get that by the end of the year. It makes him 12-7 for his career. 12 wins, 7 losses, and he's got 3 saves. So Ty picks up the pitching red belt of the week. Defensively, I keep giving it to Josh Pine, and I'm sorry, but he keeps making wild plays. So I don't know what you want me to do. The kid dove into the wall, gave up his body. I couldn't even see half the play because I was on the rail, and there's like an angle, and watching the replay was amazing. He really does give up his body for the team. And not only that, he's going to elementary schools with kids. I mean, if that doesn't get you a red belt, I really don't know what does. No, but Josh Pine would have earned it either way, whether he went to Grady's classroom or not. So it's Ty Bothwell, Josh Pine, and Tyler Cerny for the belts this week. Now, I know we're obviously, we talked about this last week, right? That, you know, we were ranked real high in our minds, right? In the beginning, we made the rankings, national media attention. That's kind of dipped down a bit in the past few weeks. I really am happy we grabbed that win against Indiana State, though. I feel like that was one of the last real marker wins we were going to get non-conference. But, Carl, why don't you talk about a little bit nationally and numbers-wise, you know, kind of where we really are right now.
Okay. Yeah, I dug into it. I'll be honest, it doesn't look too good. When I started the – if you go back to what I wrote back when the schedule came out, based on – the records and the performances of the opponent teams in 2023, basically just take those records and plump them into 2024. It's not going to be exact. And in general, I think the overall set of opponents is a little bit better, but I don't think it's significantly better. And I don't think it's enough to significantly change these numbers. But the way it came out, the way the math came out, Indiana was targeting a record of 39-17 to feel good about an at-large bid at the end of the year. Indiana is now at 16-14. So if you do the further math, that is requiring that the team go 23-3 down the stretch, which is a little beyond what I think is plausible at this point. The remaining schedule includes 3 series against all 3 teams that are projected to be in the postseason from the Big Ten, Nebraska, Maryland, and Rutgers. And it also includes a midweek at Louisville. So what's the good news? Well, the good news is you've got a road win at Coastal. You've got a neutral win over Topton Dallas Baptist. And now this home win over Indiana State. So there are 3 marquee wins against really solid mid-major programs. So that's a little bit of a boost to the resume. But even with that, the RPI has got to be in range. And with a 16-14 record, that is just – a big part of this just requires winning baseball games, and that's just not what they've been doing up to this point. Warren Nolan right now has an algorithm, which – I only looked at it once because last year when I looked at it, it would change every half hour. But the brief snapshot I looked at here has Indiana going 14-12 down the stretch, with finishing it with an RPI of 89 with that record down the stretch, a final record of 30-26, and splitting the Big Ten 12-12. The good news about splitting the Big Ten 12-12 is that's in the Big Ten tournament. But that result, of course, then means needing to win the Big Ten tournament all the way through, win the whole thing to get to the postseason. So let's say we flip 5 of those remaining games, and instead of 12-12, Indiana goes 17-7 in the Big Ten tournament, winning the league outright. I think that's all it's going to take, honestly, given how tight this group is. I think you're going to see some weeks that are going to surprise people. We've already have. I mean, I think, you know, Michigan beating Maryland was a surprise. Well, frankly, Illinois beating Indiana was a surprise. So, but I figured that would probably get the RPI into the 60 range, which normally is not an at-large bid, but you pair that with multiple marquee wins. Because it's not just those 3. It would have to include, you know, the 3 series I was talking about. You include those and having a Power Five conference championship under the belt, that's an at-large bid. So that is one not crazy, not RPI based, but one semi-realistic opportunity if this team really, really turns a corner here. This is was really a turning point, and the team goes on a crazy tear to finish the season 17-7 and win the Big Ten. You also have to look, you're but even with that, you might also then have to assume running the table in midweeks, and I don't know how likely that is, especially with Tyrai, likely moving to Sundays, to the point that Zach made earlier. They're gonna have to figure out some things on weekdays, which may just come down to they're just gonna have to out hit whoever they play. It's just, hey, they may just have to win these games 13-11 and not but we'll see. But and to Cass's point, that seems to be what they're doing. If they can get off of that L, if the pitching gives up runs, well, you need to match that. So either case, in my opinion, at this point, there's going to have to be some sort of conference championship involved, whether that's regular season or tournament, for Indiana to see the postseason. I can't, given the past month's performance, predict that scenario at this point. But it's not also, would not be horribly surprising either way. So I think right now, kind of that focus needs to be doing as well in the Big Ten as possible, to not only clinch that berth, but clinch it soon. If we can remember how nerve-wracking it was that last week in 2022, when the team ended up backing into a into a berth, I think it's important to kind of clinch that the week before that. Make that Michigan series not actually matter all that much, so that whatever the team needs to do pitching wise in order to set themselves up for the best possible way to win the tournament, they want to do that. So that means getting off to a really, really great start right now. They got to start immediately. And speaking of that, tomorrow night, it's the Hoosiers and the Turtles. Cass, what can you tell us about Maryland?
Yeah, thank you, Carl. Maryland, or the Cardiac Terps, as they've been this season, and I'll go into that a little bit more later. They are currently sitting at 21-8, including a 3-3 even split in the Big Ten. They went 2-1 versus Michigan State in their first Big Ten weekend, and then they lost 1-2 against Michigan last week. They're currently sitting 30th in the RPI, and they actually had a 23 consecutive Big Ten series win streak snapped last week by Michigan. They are still, because that was at Michigan, they are still working on a pretty impressive Big Ten home series streak. Their last Big Ten home series loss was May 3rd through 5th of 2019, not counting the pods throw all of it off. I'm not counting the pods. Those were weird. So true series. Their last loss was May 3rd through 5th of 2019 to Michigan. So they have 10 straight home Big Ten series that they've won, and they've become the Cardiac Terps this year because they keep winning these 1-2 run games. 31% of their games so far have fallen a one run differential, and 45% have been within 2 runs. They are 8-1 in one run games, and they're 11-2 in 2 run games. And I saw something like they've ended games in the final at bat, which I'm assuming has walked it off, but like seven times. It's absolutely insane. So don't be surprised to see comebacks. Don't be surprised to see close games because they seem to thrive on it this year. On the offensive side, this kind of starts and ends with the Hakopian brothers. Eddie is leading the team, hitting 373 on the season and a 970 OPS. And he has 22 walks to 16 Ks. He's only struck out 16 times so far this season. His brother Chris is second on the team in batting average at 339 with an OPS of 1.078. And he has seven home runs on the year. I think that, I'm pretty sure that led the team for home runs so far this year. Another one to watch is Jacob Orr, who's hitting 303 and has struck out just 10 times. So he's really good at getting that contact. And one to watch from a power perspective is Sam Honar. He's hitting 276 so far on the year, but he has 11 doubles and five home runs. In the same breath, he has 35 strikeouts so far on the year. So he's a little bit of a boom or bust type of hitter. In all, they have six different guys who have at least four home runs, so they do have a good bit of power. And as a team, they're hitting 250 with 35 home runs and a 26% strikeout rate. So they're honestly not striking out that much as a team overall. On the pitching side, for once, we actually know three starting pitchers. We don't have TBD versus TBD for Sunday. On Friday, we're going to see Kenny Lippmann. He's got a 5.46 ERA in 29 and two-thirds innings pitched. He has a WHIP of 1.69, so it's on the higher end. But he does have 27 strikeouts in those 29 and two-thirds innings of work. He did have a little bit of an issue with Michigan. He went three and a third and gave up five earned runs. Meanwhile, against Michigan State, he went six innings, giving up three earned runs, no walks to four strikeouts. On Saturday, we've got Logan Koester. He has a 4.54 ERA and a much better 1.27 WHIP in 37.2 innings. And he's had a little bit of a up and down start to Big Ten play. Against Michigan, he went one and a third innings, giving up eight earned runs, walking two, and striking out none. In comparison, against Michigan State, he went seven and a third, giving up two earned runs. So a bit of an up and down start to Big Ten play for Logan Koester. On Sunday, we're going to see Joey McManus, which was a little questionable. He has started both of the Big Ten Sunday games, but did not start all of the non-conference Sunday games. He's actually looking the best ERA-wise out of the starters at 3.76 ERA in 26 and a third innings pitched. Against Michigan, he pitched four innings, gave up three earned runs, issued no walks, and struck out five. So that was pretty solid start Sunday start against Michigan. And then against Michigan State, he threw six innings, giving up just two earned runs. So he's been a little bit more consistent than the others as far as Big Ten play. The one big one to watch out of the bullpen for Maryland is Logan Barrier. He has a 2.31 ERA in 23 and a third inning. So he's gone about as long as all of the starters have. He has a 0.94 WHIP. He does not let people on base. He's issued four walks compared to 22 strikeouts. When he's in, don't expect a whole lot of offense to be going on. As a whole, the staff has a 4.96 ERA. and 121 walks to 199 Ks, and they're holding opponents to a batting average of just 250 even. So this is going to be a tough staff to hit, but not an impossible staff to hit. Michigan figured them out pretty well, but they're also going to be coming off mad of seeing that big winning series winning streak snapped.
All right. Well, Chris, there has been some more assignment activity for our Hoosier alumni. What info do you have?
Yeah, we got a little information from at Pro Bowl Hoosiers as always. Philip Glasser has been assigned to the Fredericksburg Nationals at single A ball. Matt Gorski, as expected, is going to be with the Indianapolis Indians. And we don't know how long he might be with them. I mean, it's the Pirates are playing well, but it's the Pirates. So, like, if we had some Hoosiers on the Mets, minor leagues, you'd be like, go watch them now because they might be up quick. We did get a first Mets win today, though, right before we started recording, too. So it was beautiful. But we still had to lose the first game of the doubleheader before we could win our first game of the year. But 1-5. Let's go, Mets. And we have Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber, obviously, is on the Phillies. He's got two home runs on the season. I wanted to throw that out there also. Craig Yoho, he's with the High A Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. So if you're in Wisconsin, you want to check out Craig Yoho. It looks like he's more of a reliever, so you won't really be able to pick and choose when he's going to pitch. But just go to all the Timber Rattler games. They probably have cool promotions. Teams like that normally do. Who else we got? Oh, we got a twofer. You could go to the Somerset Patriots game, which is the Double A Yankees, and you could see Grant Richardson and Elijah Dunham both on that squad. So we do have some assignments, a little more than we had last week. Now, as we're playing Maryland, one of my favorite memories of playing Maryland is Craig Dedalo's home run in the rain, right? When for some reason Maryland decided that they were the true Americans and they were going to cheer USA when anything good happened. We still haven't figured out why they were doing that, but that's why I got the USA shirt on. And I definitely want to shout out Craig Dedalo, who is still chasing his dream and trying to, make it in pro ball. Now, yes, he was in the Chicago White Sox organization for a bit, but now he's moved on to some independent ball because I guess the White Sox, they wanted to move on. But Craig is with the Staten Island Ferry Hawks. So if you're around Staten Island in New York area, you could check Craig play. And then, I mean, if while you're there, you could check out Big Ben, right? Ben Seiler is in the New England Knockouts. So I would think they would play each other a lot. There's probably no more than like four teams in that league, four or six maybe. So there's probably a lot of like interaction. So you could see D'Lo and you could see Ben Seiler. A couple of free agents, that are still out there that you never know who might get picked up is Caleb Barriger, Cole Barr, Matt Litwicki, Braden Scott, and Tommy Summer. So those are some guys to keep an eye on as far as our alumni. But again, you never know who's going to get called up, right? Sal Frank could get called up anytime from AAA. Heron's already in the majors, like we know. Keep an eye on, and see what happens. Follow your Hoosiers and see where it goes from there. Now, obviously, to these current Hoosiers coming off that big win against Indiana State, I wasn't able to be there. Like I said, Zach, what was the vibe talking to Coach Mercer after the game? I know there was the Brock Tibbetts injury. Did he discuss that at all? And what was the vibe after that big win?
Yeah, so we started out. He was really talking about how the team is coming together. That over the Butler series and then that Indiana State win, they focus more on energy in the dugout and saying like, this is a game. It's not a job. It should be fun. So meanwhile, they're focusing to play the game rather to win, or they're playing the game to win rather than to lose. Play not to lose. It was on the whiteboard in the indoor facility over there. It sounds simple, but the pitching staff needs to go out there with a purpose and convert each pitch. That everything they need it for a reason. Like, don't just go out there and throw the ball. And at the plate, as I spoke earlier, they need length in the order. The Nick Mitchell was moved down from the leadoff spot to the fifth hole, 5-6 in the Butler series. As Chris said earlier, he had a six RBI game. Jason Oliver was in the nine hole, and Jeff Mercer just couldn't keep him there with all that production. He's now hitting 379 on the season. And then it came over to Tuesday, and Josh Pine, he was slumping a bit, and he put him in the nine hole, and he crushed a home run in Tuesday's game. And also on Tuesday was the whole thing about Josh Pine visiting the elementary school, which was today, Thursday. It all worked out. So that was cool to see. And then with Indiana's lineup, they can play with some of the best in the country. They hit all the way through the lineup. And you hope Brock Tibbetts is healthy. We didn't really hear much of an update on that. But Jake Stadler, he's held it down behind the plate, and Joey Bruncheschi over at first with the absence of Tibbetts as well. The team, he really was just saying the team is coming together at the right time. Jeff Mercer is confident that they'll go on a run. And I really think if they have a solidified weekend rotation of Bothwell, Foley, and Hrabarchuk through the future matchups, I mean, they can really run the table in the Big Ten.
All right. Well, now we will get into our Big Ten pick'em. And it's been an exciting we had the biggest week. Week two is the biggest week because Indiana was on a bye, so we had six series and we had some shakeups. Cass came in with a one series lead on Josh and Zach. And Josh and Zach cut into that. They were 4-2 on the week. So we end up now with Cass, Josh, and Zach are all tied at 6-3. I am two series behind now, at 4-5. And Chris has now tied me. So Chris is now at 4-5. Because
Yes.
Chris also actually had a very good week. He was also 4-2. It was a
Damn right I
different four and
was.
two.
Yes.
Specifically that he correct he was the only one to pick the Ohio State series. But he was also the only one
Well,
to not pick the Illinois series. So
I'm telling you, they're the top team in the big right now, and they
yeah.
did not impress me. They did
Yeah.
not. We should have beat them. And what are they? What, 4-1, 5-1, right? Top of the table, right?
Yep.
It doesn't make sense to me. They really did not look that good. I felt like we lost those games more than they won them.
All right. Well, we always call on somebody to go first. So I guess this time, again, Zach's first time, so Zach gets to give his picks first.
There you
Yeah,
go.
as the rookie here, I'm looking to take the crown. So I'll start off, Illinois. Chris, you're just saying it. Indiana lost those games more than they won. I'll take Illinois over Minnesota. That pitching performance on Friday night against Indiana was really dominant, and I think that's going to happen again. They can win one of Saturday and Sunday. So I'll take Illinois over Minnesota. Iowa over Michigan. They're at home, and they were the preseason best out of the Big Ten. I'll take Penn State over Northwestern, kind of the projected bottom two in the conference. From that Walter Noren projection there. I'll take Rutgers over Purdue. Purdue can focus more on the Final Four game at this point in time. So they can lose the baseball series. And then to finalize here, I'll take Nebraska over Ohio State. They seem like the team to beat as of right now in the Big Ten. So there we go. Illinois, Iowa, Penn State, Rutgers, and Nebraska.
All right, I'm gonna go next. I struggled with a lot of these, but in the end, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna pick one upset. I'm gonna try to get myself back into this, but I'm gonna pick it to be a home team. So, in fact, I'm just gonna take all home teams. I'm taking Minnesota at home
Oh.
against Illinois. I'm gonna take Iowa against Michigan, Penn State against Northwestern. Rutgers against Purdue and Nebraska against Ohio State.
The Homer Simpson. You went with the Homer Simpson. Ah, man. Look at that. Who's up next, Carl? You want mine?
Yeah, go, Chris.
All right. I got Minnesota. Okay. I'm taking Minnesota because I don't think anybody else is going to do it. I'm going to take Iowa. That's that whole Caitlin Clark, whole thing. Even though I'm betting on UConn, I'm going to take UConn. The value pick, if anyone's listening, take UConn. We also have Northwestern. I'm taking them. Not sure why. I'm going to take Purdue. I'm going to take Purdue because I'm going with that thing I was talking about last week, where I don't want them both to win, right? So I'll take Purdue baseball so that Purdue basketball will lose, and then. I mean, Nebraska just seems solid to me at home. It's a real home field advantage. We all know that. So I know they just lost to Creighton at the Chuck, which has surprised me. Creighton's got like 21 wins already, which also I didn't know. But yeah, Creighton beat them in the midweek. But obviously, I'm sure they weren't throwing their guns out there like the weekend starters they have. And Nebraska's got a lot of arms, so I'll go with Nebraska then. So it's Minnesota, Iowa, Northwestern, Purdue, Nebraska.
All right, let's do Josh now. Josh's picks. He's picking Illinois over Minnesota on the road. Michigan, although that's not how we referred to them, over Iowa on the road. And then the remaining are home teams. He's picking Penn State over Northwestern, Rutgers over Purdue, and Nebraska over Ohio State. Cass, wrapping up with you. Now that you've got competition, Cass.
I do.
They're tied with you now.
Yes. So I went with Illinois, although Minnesota did put up a butt ton of runs against Iowa in the first game last week. I'm still going Illinois. I was very torn on Michigan versus Iowa because that's the RPI 101 team versus the RPI 100 team.
Ooh.
Like, that's how close it is. So I gave the home edge to Iowa. That was my deciding factor. So Iowa in that game. Going Northwestern over Penn State. Kind of with Feeney. Don't know why.
I had no clue what to do.
I don't trust either team further than I can throw them. And I don't know. Northwestern sounded good.
Boom.
And then Rutgers over Purdue. Again, as the home team, I gave them the edge. And Nebraska's been pretty solid. So, especially as the home team, I'm going Nebraska. So, Illinois, Iowa, Northwestern, Rutgers, Nebraska.
See, when you just take a shot in the dark and Cass agrees with you, you feel way better. Well, let me tell you.
Well, I was feeling that way last week, Chris, and it did not pay off for me. So.
No.
Oh, okay.
It didn't pay off for me either.
Fair. I really had no clue with that matchup. I really had no – I wasn't going to make something up.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's why I said I just – you know what? I'm just going all home teams. So.
No, Homer Simpson.
All right. Well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more on Indiana baseball, hit up iubase.com. For Zach Horwitz, Cassidy Palmer, and Chris Feeney, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.